We all need to hear what the Lord has for us. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your people. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that's here to help me, Lord, and to guide us all into truth. And I just pray, Father, that you speak to our hearts tonight. Show us, Lord, where we need to change, where we need to grow, Lord, where we need to do something different. And I just pray, Father, that you just have your way in us. I ask for your help, and I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about multiplying yourself. God told us in the beginning of the book of Genesis, he says, be fruitful and multiply. And you know what? As a born-again believer, that ought to mean more to us than just having lots of children. No, it means that we should bear much fruit. John 15 and 8, Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Much fruit. He said, our Father is glorified when we bear much fruit. I'm probably the only person that remembers this. But 12 years ago, when Carmen and I came back to Grace as pastors, the first message I preached as pastor was a message titled, Fruit, More Fruit, Much Fruit. Because I really believe that's what God wants for this church. And we've seen some. Amen. We're in the fruit, maybe even more fruit, but we're headed for much fruit. And so this message tonight is just to help us get ready and just to be prepared for that. I really believe that God is a good steward, that he will give us what we are ready for, what we can be good stewards of. And so this message tonight is to help us get ready for that. Jesus said, though, if we're disciples of his, then we should be fruitful. Yeah. He said it this way, so you will be my disciples. Bear much fruit and you glorify the Father. Have you ever thought about the fact that if one generation of believers were to fail in handing the baton of faith to the next generation, that the church would end? If one generation didn't do their job in reaching the next generation. Now, we know that's not going to happen because Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and even the gates of hell will not stop it. So I'm not saying that's a possibility, because I know what the Word of God says, that he's going to build his church. But it's an amazing thing that we all have a responsibility to reach others, to reach the next generation. And I tell you, I'm excited about Grace Church because our children and youth are reaching so many. You know, there's a word for churches that don't have children and youth. Dying. Because if you don't have children and youth, when that generation is gone, the church is gone. And so I'm excited. Listen, they're not just the church of tomorrow. They're a big part of the church of today. And I just want to sidetrack for a second here just to say that, you know, sometimes people look at children's ministry as a little thing. So twisted, so wrong, and so backward. Because those are actually people. Little people, but people. And the amazing thing is they're so much easier to reach and to influence than us old geezers. Because we get set in our ways. But I'm telling you, those little children are like empty vessels that will just soak up. They're so open to the Lord. Wow, children's ministry is an awesome thing. And I'll tell you, youth ministry also, so powerful. Young people just, you know, they don't know any better than just to turn their life over to God totally and completely and do whatever he says. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's amazing how teenagers can do that. You know, again, some of us old geezers, we got a lot of reservations. Anyway, we need to get back to the message. I'm meddling, aren't I? So here we go. Listen, here's the point we need to get, is that we're to always be bearing fruit, reproducing. That's how the church grows. In Genesis, he also said that everything reproduces after its kind. Now, this is not rocket science. This is not complicated. It's a very simple principle that everybody knows. Now, short of some kind of genetic modification, all right, pear trees reproduce pears and pear trees. How about this one? Panda bears reproduce panda bears. All right? This is real simple. It's nothing complicated about this. We need to understand in the church that the same principle applies, that disciples reproduce disciples, that believers in Jesus, that true followers of Christ, they reproduce more followers of Jesus Christ. Simple principle, but something that we need to talk about and we need to understand. See, that principle is true for us in regard to leadership. We reproduce what we are. That's why our children look like us. Or grandchildren, coming soon. It's also why sometimes they display some of the same flaws that we have or that your spouse has, right? It's kind of a scary thought that we reproduce what we are. And I understand, you got to qualify that and clarify that. But to a great degree, this is what happens. We really do reproduce what we are. And that's so true in spiritual leadership that a lot of the time we're reproducing what we are. Listen to me now. Not what we say, but what we are. And by the way, when it comes to your children, you're always teaching, and they learn far more from what you do than from what you say. That old thing, you know, do as I say, not as I do, it never works, because they're learning, for good or bad, they're learning from what you do. That's the way leadership really works. You lead by what you do, not just by what you say. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Another translation says, follow me as I also follow Christ. Now, you know what? None of us is perfect. But the point here is that as we follow the Lord, then they can follow our example. That's the way that it's supposed to be. People need to be able to look to us and see how to live for Jesus. They need to be able to look to us and see what it means to really serve the Lord. You know, whether it's in the workplace, the school, the home, or the church, we got to model what it is that we want others to learn. We can't just tell them. We got to model it. And this isn't really a message on parents. We're going to mainly talk about the church tonight. But I just want to remind you, parents, what a tremendous opportunity and responsibility you have to disciple your own children. I'm well aware we have many young people, especially in our youth group, that come to church and maybe their parents don't even go to church, and they're serving God and becoming disciples of the Lord. But for every parent that goes to church, wow, what an opportunity you have to disciple your children. And the greatest thing that you can do for your child is to teach them to follow Jesus, to teach them to have a real and personal relationship with Jesus. I mean, you know, it's neat if you can teach your kid about business and how to be successful. You can teach your kid karate and self-defense, or you can teach your kid how to drive the car, or whatever other, baseball, whatever else you want to teach your kid. That's all great. But I'm just telling you, the greatest thing you will ever teach your kid is to follow Jesus Christ and to truly serve the Lord with all their heart. You know, sometimes with your children, especially, it may seem like they're not listening, but just remember, they're learning a lot. It may be caught, not taught, but they're learning, all right? They're getting something. But to lead others, you can't just tell them what they need to be. Leading begins with being example. You got to lead the way. You can't take others any further than where you are. I'm not going to give you just a ton of scriptures. Most of the time I give you a ton, right? But I'm just going to give you a few tonight. But I am going to back this one up, all right? I'm going to give you the scripture here. It's Luke 6:40. Jesus said it. He said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. A disciple can't ever be above the one that's teaching him. Now, I want to tell you that a disciple can surpass the teacher, but not because they're learning from the teacher. Your children can surpass you. And you know what? That's what every parent really wants, is their kids to do well and do better even than they did, right? I mean, when your kids are doing great, that's the greatest feeling. That's awesome. They can surpass you. But the discipleship process has passed on when they pass you. I'm just telling you, they're no longer being discipled by you when they pass you. No, to lead others to be closer to the Lord, we have to be able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. So how can they surpass us? Well, let me just give you this. It's real simple. Because you teach them to follow Jesus themselves. See, it starts this way. Follow me as I follow the Lord. You show them the way. You lead by example. But you take them to the place where they're not no longer just following you, but by their own choice, they're following Jesus. They've chosen to commit their life to him. They choose to spend time with him, to abide in him. They choose to abide in his word. They choose to sit at his feet and hear his voice. And they choose to obey him. They choose to be involved in ministry. And they can, you see, as they follow Jesus themselves, they can surpass you. But you teach them by example to spend time with him. You teach them by example to worship. You teach them by example to spend time in the word and to hear his voice and to be involved in ministry. It's so important. You realize this, that Jesus, when he discipled, he always involved them in ministry. It just kind of blows away this whole mentality of most of the church in America, who would just go to church and, you know, add a little Jesus to our life. No, if you're really going to follow Jesus and be a disciple of Jesus, you're going to be involved in ministry. One way or another, you're going to be involved in what he's doing in the earth today. But in our leadership messages, we've talked a whole lot about being an influence in the world. And tonight, I just want to focus on the ministry of the church. Now listen, it has everything to do with reaching the world. As I said, I believe the Lord wants to prepare us for a greater harvest, for much fruit. I want to read to you from John 15 again. Listen, Jesus thinks bearing fruit is important. Jesus thinks bearing fruit is important. So should we. So here, let's read. John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, people always want to know, what does that mean? He takes away. Well, you know what? It doesn't really matter. You can argue about it and debate it, but it's not good. So don't go there. Here's what we need to be focused on. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it'll bear more fruit. So I'm bearing fruit. Guess what? Sooner or later, he's going to bring you to a place where you can bear even more fruit. John 15:5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. John 15:8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Jesus tells us the key to bearing fruit is abiding in him. It is spending time with him. It is having a personal relationship with him. That's the key. It is never just about a program. It's never just about doing it by the book. It is about a real relationship with Jesus. That's where the fruit comes. And I want you to remember that I said that, because we're going to talk about some of the mechanics and the particulars in a minute here. But I want you to remember that the fruit only comes when we ourselves are spending time with the Lord. That's how we bear much fruit. That's the real key. It has to be done out of a relationship with him. Otherwise, it's never fruitful. But he says if we abide in him, we bear much fruit. Well, what is this fruit? I want to remind you one more time. Apple trees bear apples. They make more apple trees. And we need to reproduce ourselves. For the church to grow and keep growing, we will always need more people to work, to serve, to be involved. It's always going to be that way. I really believe that we are at a place where we are going to grow and see a lot of people coming, and we will keep the number that we are prepared for and ready for. You know what that means? We need more workers. And some of you, you're working and you're busy and you're doing things and you're thinking, oh, Pastor, I don't know if I can do anything else. Listen. This message tonight will help you. I'm telling you, it's not going to burden you, but it's going to help you. Now, if you're not doing anything and you've been sitting back, I'm just telling you that God wants you. And the church needs you. And other people need you. I'm telling you, you're going to make a difference. But what would it take for us to handle 200 more people? I'm telling you, it would take more people fulfilling their place in the body of Christ. Those of you who are leaders or fulfill a particular ministry in the body, you need to multiply yourself. Do you ever wish there were two of you so you could get more done? I do a lot. I mean, there's a lot of days when I'm just like, I wish I could be here and be there at the same time. I just can't do it. No, there's not two of us. I'm not talking about making a clone of yourself. But I'm talking about that if you serve or work in an area of ministry, then you need to help recruit and train somebody to do what you do. Oh, it's a good thing. It's a great thing. And I'm just telling you, in the church, in the body of Christ, we desperately need more leaders. We desperately need more people who serve and who will help us be ready. I'm going to show it to you some more. Just stay with me. But church, we need this. I know this is simple. I know it's practical. But we need to get it. Jesus said, make disciples. And part of the discipleship process is teaching someone else to do what you do. That's what Jesus did. Now, you know as well as I do that none of Jesus' disciples were perfect like Jesus. But he taught them to do what he did. And they did the works of Jesus. And why is it that when we serve and work in the body of Christ, we don't think we need to teach somebody to do what we do? He sent them out. Well, first he taught them, he trained them, then he sent them out, then sometimes he corrected them and sent them out again. You know, oh, and he modeled it for them, right? But he trained them and he sent them out. And I'm telling you, we need to do some training. We need to do some sending. We need to get people ready. Ephesians 4:16 in the NIV says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And you know what? We need to see every person in the body develop to be who God wants them to be, to reach their potential in the kingdom and in the body of Christ, to do what God wants them to do. But I'm telling you, that doesn't happen without some mentoring. All of us need help, or need to help. Let me get this right. All of us need to help to recruit and to train people to do what we do. You know, one of the reasons if you want to learn to play the piano, you should take some piano lessons is because if you learn to play without any lessons at all, a lot of the time you learn the wrong way. You hold your fingers instead of like this. And years down the road when you try to learn to play the right way because the way you play is wrong and it hinders your progress, then it's hard to unlearn the wrong things. You know, the best way to learn something on the computer? Oh, it's not to go sit and read a manual or some program trying to read the helps. No, the best way to learn something on the computer, it's 10 times as fast or 100 times as fast sometimes, is somebody else that knows how to do it says, look, just click right here and then click right here. Why aren't we smart enough to figure this out in ministry? And we don't have to always be trying to figure everything out for ourselves. That's the dumb way to learn something. But instead, we should teach others what we know. You know, some of the things that some of you take for granted, you go into a children's class and you've been teaching kids and you know what to do, but somebody else walks in there and they haven't ever done it before and they're like, Oh, we need to recruit and we need to train. Those same principles, see, apply in ministry. You know, one of the trends that's so popular with successful churches, and we ourselves have been doing this now for about 8 or 9 years, is to have multiple services. And I'm just telling you that the day is coming that we will go to a third service. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, it's not ever going to happen. You're the same people that said we would never build the building. There's a third service coming, and it's going to be on a Saturday night. And it's going to be an awesome thing. But let me tell you what the biggest challenge to doing that is. To have all of the workers in place so that it's done with excellence and it's not just some slipshod, thrown together thing with leftovers and the best we could do and blah, blah. No, it has to be right. We're not going to do a third service just kind of half-heartedly or so-so. We're going to do it with excellence. And to do that, we've got to have more worship team people. Now, I'm just telling you, of all the people who work in the church, and please don't get into comparing here, but I guess I'm comparing a little bit. I'm just telling you, they really are committed. They're here early for practice all the time. And that, man, when they miss, there's a hole. They're so faithful. But a third service, or actually, you know, it's a fourth service because they're here on Wednesday night too. I'm just telling you, we need more worship people. We need more children's workers. We need more greeters. We need more ushers. We need more security people. There's just so many background things that have to be handled. And I'm just telling you, we need to multiply ourselves. You might even like it that you don't have the pressure that if you need to just take a day off and sit in the chair instead of working, that you can. Or if you're sick one day, you know, that God forbid, but if you happen to be out, you're on vacation, that somebody's there to take your place and the ministry doesn't suffer. But we need to train people and develop people to do what we do. If we don't, then workers get stretched too thin, and eventually what happens one way or another, sooner or later, is you end up with people who are not trained and not ready and not qualified to fulfill a certain area of ministry. Did you know, you might think, oh, well, anybody can be an usher. There's been a lot of people run off from church because of the attitude or the tone of an usher. Not anybody can be an usher. They need to be trained. They need to be the right people and have the right heart and the right attitude. My brother, some years ago, about 20 years ago actually, he's an attorney. About 20 years ago, he had a lawsuit that went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and kind of a big deal for a young lawyer. But the case was is that a sheriff in Oklahoma hired a guy who had a long criminal background. Things like resisting arrest, assault and battery, DUI, on and on and on. And he hired this guy 2 weeks out of jail. He was on parole, and he had no law enforcement training. Just to make a long story short, he injured a woman, and she had to have multiple surgeries. And as I said, it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they did win a judgment against the county because of the actions of the sheriff in hiring a guy who should never have been hired and had no training. Did you know that a lot of churches do the same thing all the time? They get people, they don't even know their character. We just need some warm bodies to go in here and stand and feel, you know, just anybody. No, we're not just having just anybody. And the best way to know somebody's character is if you know them. I mean, we do background checks on children and youth workers, but even that's so limited. The best way to know somebody's character is if you know them, you're friends with them, you're acquainted with them. And the best way to train them is if you're serving in an area of ministry and you take them along with you and you train them, you show them how to do it. You don't just stick them off on their own. Well, that's the way Jesus did it, right? Until they were ready, and then he sent them out. You know what? I see that especially in children's ministry. So many churches are so desperate for children's workers, they'll just say anybody. And I'm just telling you that we will never, ever do that. We will never, ever sacrifice the standard for children's ministry. In fact, we will have them come sit in the service with their mom and dad before we will do that. Same with our worship team. Be on this worship team. Listen, we have some really talented people. But you know what really matters the most to us? People that are really committed to God, who have a servant's heart, and who are faithful. And you know what? There might be some who come along who are talented and all this and all that, but I'm just telling you, we don't want them up here. We won't sacrifice that standard. We're going to know who they are, and we're going to see to it that they fit in with what we do and flow with us. You know, the devil's always trying to get in the worship. But here's my point. We need to always be training, raising up new people. You know what? Some people are so insecure about somebody else taking their spot or their limelight. But in the body of Christ, it ought to never be that way. No, we ought to always be training others and raising up new people, letting new people get involved and do more things. We ought to be excited about that, just like we are when our own children excel. If we had a part in somebody else getting involved, we should be excited about that. You know, one of the reasons that a lot of the time we don't do this well is because churches try to do it from the pulpit or from the stage. They say, oh, we need workers. And I just want to tell you, that's the worst way. It's the wrong way to get workers. Number one, it kind of sends the message that hey, this isn't important, anybody can do it. We'll take anybody. And that's not the case. But number two, it makes people feel like, well, if anybody can do it, then I don't want to do it because I want to do something that matters. And I'm just telling you, when we ask people personally to get involved and help in what we're doing, then it lets them know that we think they're the person for the job. And it's just important. And we, as we recruit people that way and we teach them and train them what they need to do. Now, here's the truth about ministry. And this is true with pastors and everybody else. And if the Lord tarries, see, now if the Lord comes back, I understand that changes things. But if the Lord tarries, I figured that one out all by myself. If the Lord tarries, listen, one of two things will happen. Whatever area of ministry you're in or position you hold or where you serve, one of two things will happen if the Lord tarries. Either you will pass on from this life or you will move on to another area of ministry or maybe even another church. But what happens to that area of ministry? And you know what usually happens? They just step out. There's nobody there, and the church is scrambling trying to find somebody. You need to train your replacement. And I don't mean like, oh, well, we're going to leave in 6 months, so I'm training somebody. I mean you need to always be training, always be replicating yourself. Well, Moses did it. He trained Joshua. Elijah did it with Elisha. David did it with his son Solomon. Paul certainly did it with many of the men that he worked with. He passed something on to Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. See, he passed something on to Timothy. But anybody that's in ministry should want to see their ministry live on after them. And so you got to be raising up somebody to follow you. Our youth pastor, Jonathan, when he was in college, he started a Bible study that ran 20 to 25 the first year, 35 to 50 the second year. The third year ran 50 to 70. And he realized that when he left, it had become a campus organization so that they could use bigger rooms. And he realized when he left that it was just going to die unless he had new leaders. And so he raised up new leaders. And it kept perpetuating itself for many years after that. And I'm just telling you, whatever you do for God, you need to be replicating yourself so that you can hand it off to somebody else. I think we're down to this. How do we multiply ourselves? Are we to there? Good. First, break it down. In other words, you need to be able to teach it to somebody. Sometimes we do what we do out of gifting and we don't even think about all the things that we do, but you might even need to write it down for yourself so that you can explain it in a way that somebody else that's never done it can do what you do. You got to break it down for them. Next, you got to hand it off. Nobody can ever develop just by watching. You got to give them the opportunity. And by the way, that's one of the things we want to see happen with our growth groups. We want our growth group leaders to be training new growth group leaders and handing it off, letting them have an opportunity. They'll make mistakes, but that's okay. Jesus' disciples made mistakes, but you still have to have the opportunity. And the last one is let it go. There comes a day when you just have to turn loose of a particular area and let somebody else do it. And you know what? There's this challenge to every one of us tonight to multiply ourselves. But I'm telling you, you see, if we do that, we're going to grow. We're going to be ready for more. Say it one more time. The Lord is a good steward, and I believe he's going to send us what we can handle. Well, stand with me. It's 8:35. And I'm just going to say I love you. I appreciate you. I know it's a little different tonight, but I hope that you learned something. I hope I put something in there that's going to challenge you. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.